So we left off on Hey Amabiz, towards the bottom of the Amud. We had just said that based on all these calculations, we have proven that the airspace was 10 tefachim, because the kruvim, so the outside of the kruvim, the space underneath their wingspan was 10 tefachim to the top of the cover, so the Aron's cover. Their wings were neither straight out nor very, very high up. They were high up just enough that underneath them there were 10 tefachim. So now, the Gemara says the following. So now we are 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, I think, lines up by the word Hanichal Rabbi Meir. 60. So Hanichal Rabbi Meir. The Omer. So it's 16 lines up.
Hanicha.
First one was Lamala. So Hanicha. I understand. It makes sense. It's Noach. It's restable. It's fine. It. We're at ease with that. The Rebbe Meir, according to Rebbe Meir, the Omer Kol Ha'Amos Hayu Beinonios. That all the Amos that were used in the Mishkan and the Beis Hamikdash were what's called the average size Amma. What does it mean? Average size? A 6 tefach Amma. That an Amma is composed of 6 tefachim. That's the average. There was one that was slightly bigger that they would use, that had like a measuring stick that was slightly bigger for some things. And also there's another, there's sometimes that we use Ammos that are actually made out of 5 tefachim. It's not like in our modern day measurements where you say, you know, a foot is 12 inches. You would never hear somebody say like, no, this is a 13-inch foot. That's not a thing. There's no such thing as that. A 95-centimeter meter stick. That doesn't make sense. But in the Torah's Amma, there are sometimes the Torah is referring to an Amma that has 5 tefachim in it, sometimes referring to an Amma that has 6 tefachim in it.
So what is Beinoniot mean?
So Beinoniot literally means the average, because Bein means between. So it's kind of like the medium measurement, the average measurement, average tefachim, which are 6 tefachim. But, Ella, the Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, the Amr, who said, Amma shel binyan, the Amma of building things, meaning the height of the base of Migdash, things like that, Shisha Tzvachim, that was a 6 tefach Amma. But Vishal Kalim, the Amma used when describing the Amos of the Aron, the Mizbeach, the Shulchan, things like that, Menorah, those were Chamisha. That had 5 tefachim in it.
According to Rav Meir, the Kalim was 6 tefachim.
According to Rav Meir, 6 tefachim per Amma. Right.
For
the Kalim.
And for building.
Yes, but according to Yehuda, the ones for the Kalim were actually 5 tefachim. So my Ikalamemar, what is there to say? The Gemara is now going to do the math for us. Aron v'kapores kamahavi, the Aron with the cover. How much does that yield? How much is that to them? Tamanya upalga, 8.5. How so? The Torah describes the Aron as being all right. Amava chetzi komata. So it was an amma and a half tall. Now, we've been assuming till now that an amma and a half of 6 tefach ammas is 9. 1.5 times 6 is 9, and the kaporos is another tefach. But if you learn that the aron was 5, the amma used for the kalim, thank you, was 5 tefachim tall. 1.5 ammas, 1.5 times 5 is 7.5.
Plus the
kaporos is still 1, because we know that's 1 because the miscaris was 1. That's not an amma, that's a tefach.
So aron is a kalim?
Yeah. That's called a kalim. Yeah. And anything that wasn't the building is called the kalim. So
aron is not like this, like an aron.
No, it was a box. It was a small box.
That's what it is.
It was a box. This tall. The lukos.
And like the first
Torah, potentially inside, potentially outside, yeah. So we have, it's only going to be 8.5 tefachim total. So now we are still assuming though that the aron with the kruvim will take up a third of the height of the inside of the Kodesh Kedoshim. So we used to know. We know the inside of the Kodesh Kedoshim is 60 tefachim tall, and we know that a third of it is 20 tefachim tall, and it used to be taken up 10 by the Aron and Kaporis, 10 by the Kruvim. Now only 8.5 of it have been taken up by the
Kruvim are not 10 shekels.
Correct. So the Gemara answers. So Pashuluhu, the Gemara says, Pashuluhu, we are left over with the remainder, Chad Srei Upalga, 11.5. So there are 11.5 tefachim from the 20 tefach mark down to the cover of the Aron, because the Aron and the Kaporah is only 8.5 tall. So now there's 11.5 left to the top of the Kruvim.
This
comes from
Rabbi. Yeah, the Mishkan.
This all comes from Rabbi Yehuda, not Rabbi Meir.
Correct. So it would come out. So it would come out that the Kruvim's wings, there is 11.5 tefachim between the underside of the wings and the top of the Kaporis.
Is that a problem?
Yeah, because then says the Gemara, Ema, let's say according to Yehuda, a sukkah. Until it is 11.5. Chatzay, like achad asar, chatzay upalga, 11.5 tefachim tall. Meaning our Mishnah.
Without or without a staff?
Without. Or whatever it's going to be, but we're assuming without. We're past that machlokes today. We're assuming it's without. But
that
we'll come back to that.
But that mean that sukkah minimum height is 8.5, not 11.5? Why is it going by the remainder and not by the.
Good question, because we are assuming that the airspace in the sukkah has to be the same as the airspace from underneath the Kruvim's wings, because the Gemara derived that sochechim bechanfehem al kaporas, that they are schachafying on the kaporas, that they're described as schachafying, and we said, oh, what? The wings are schachafying, and how much air was underneath them? Kruvim's wings
were at 20,
right? And the Aron stopped at 10. So there's 10 in between the Aron and the top of the Kruvim. But now it turns out that Aron stopped at 8.5. So there was really 11.5 between the top of the Aron and the Kruvim.
Because the Kruvim were for sure a third of the
height. Right.
So that's why those stay at 20.
Right, that stays. And the opinion, yeah.
Why still
60, correct. Yeah.
Can you say it one more time again?
Yeah, inside or outside?
Outside.
So we know the Kodesh Kedoshim is 10 amos tall, 60 tefachim. So a third of the way up, let's just pretend this is 10 amos here. So it's 60 tefachim. So a third of the way up, we'll say it's here. And the Aron, we've been saying until now, stopped
10,
over here. So this is 10 at, it stopped at 20 tefachim. So 20 tefachim mark is here, top of the Kruvim. And the Aron, the top of the Aron and the Kaporis is 10 tefachim over here. So this airspace is 10 tefachim. But according to Yehuda, the Aron did not stop here, the Aron stopped there. So now you have, instead of this to the top of the Aron being 10, it's actually 11.5.
It should be 11.5. Without the schach.
Right. Without. Because we're talking about airspace. We're deriving from the Kruvim that it has to be the airspace, and that airspace is actually much taller than we expected originally.
So without the schach, it has to be 11.5 in front of you, though. Because the wings were on top, right?
That's what we're suggesting now. We're asking it as a kasha, because if that's true, it's against the Mishnah.
Which kasha are we taking on?
If you learn out from the Kruvim,
oh, so
that's A, and you hold like a Yehuda about the Tefachim and the Amos, then you'll
pass minimum 10 tefachim.
Correct. It should be too short.
Against the Mishnah.
Right.
So you throw all this away?
So, answers the Gemara. Says, no, don't worry. Ella, Rabbi Yehuda, according to Yehuda, you're right. It's not derived from a pasuk about the Kruvim. It's not derived from the 10 tefachim underneath their wingspan. What is the source of 10 tefachim that it's considered the minimum height of a sukkah? Hilchasa Gemiri La. This is a halacha la Moshe Mitzrayim. We had the word Gemiri yesterday as a Masora. Hilchasa Gemiri La means it's a halacha Moshe Mitzrayim or some other form of Masora. There's the machlokas. There might be machlokas exactly. The phrase Hilchasa Gemiri La is therefore the same thing as halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim is something that's some din to Oraisa. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu Pel Peh, and he passed it down generation to generation. It's not written in Chumash, but it has the strength of a din to Oraisa. Another understanding of the phrase Hilchasa Gemiri La is that it means it's a Mesora, but it's not the exact same thing as Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim. But either way, he had a Mesora, meaning it's not derived from a Pasuk, it's a Mesora.
The Aron, from tradition, it's 10 Tefachim.
Well, the Aron is actually 8.5 Tefachim. He holds the Aron as 8.5 Tefachim.
Even though, so what's the Mesora for?
The Mesora is the minimum height of a Sukkah is 10 tefachim. And it's really part of something bigger. As Mara's about to say, the Amr of Chiyah Bar Ashi, Amr Rav was in his name. So it says, why? Because we have this Mesorah, Amr of Chiyah Bar Rav, Shiurin, Chatzitzin, Umechitzin, Halacha Moshe Sinai. Shiurin, meaning sizes of things, like kezayis, of you know, eating tray food, things like that. Chatzitzin, which are things on a person's body that are literally words mean separations, and we're going to talk about all these in a lot more detail. So chatzitzin means separators, the things on your skin that separate between you and the mikvah. Umechitzin, and the halachas of walls are halacha moshe misinai, are passed down from halacha moshe misinai. There you have the phrase straight out, halacha moshe misinai.
This is from also from Chafet.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. We need to do a parakeet. But we start on Chafet. So this is three thing list here, that shiurin, chatzitzin, and mechitzin, halacha moshe misinai. So how does he know that a wall, in order to be considered a wall, in order to be considered the wall of a sukkah, has to be 10 tefachim tall? Because it's like any other halacha, it's like all the halachos of mechitzas, whether it be for rishus hayachid on Shabbos, whether it be for sukkah, whether it be for mechitza of separating.
A wedding mechitzin can be 10 tefachim?
What?
A wedding mechitzin can be 10
tefachim? No, but that's because it has a different function. I mean, certain mechitzas, you need a halachic wall. By mechitza, to separate, let's say in shul, you need it to be tall enough that you shouldn't be mingling. So it's not, it has a function that has to be a certain height. So, right. So if it's down here, technically you say, yes, I'm in a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and you're in your own Rosh Hashanah Yachid, but, we shouldn't be diving here, yeah.
Yeah, but I think you should mean some sort of separation, whatever it is.
In a shul or something. I'm not making any halachic statements about mechitzas. I'm just saying why it's different. So let's just work the next Amud, the next blot is going to do all of these in detail. Actually, very cool stuff. But we'll save it there in a second. But let's just say for now, like, let's say, you know, the fact that if you eat a kezias, a pig, you get malchus, things like that. That's shiurin, chatzitzin on your body going to mikvah, mechitzin, wall. So this thing we know in the Mishnah that has to be 10 tefachim tall, it's like any other mechitzin. For Shabbos, for Sukkah, for separating between species when you're planting, things like that. The chatzitzin thing in the mikvah,
it's only for women?
Nowadays, yes, but if we live in time of Beis Hamikdash, or if you're a Kohen who wants to eat Truma, it'd be the same thing for you. Men, I mean, a man...
Oh, besides Kohens also?
Let's say, if I want to go to the Beis Hamikdash, so I have to become Tahor. In order to do so, I have to do a real tevila d'oraisa, right? So real tevila.
You need to do the cow thing on you, whatever.
You need that also. You need that also. But if men really, if there was a mitzvah soon, men will really have to go to the mikvah, not just for.
And not only for Hasidish.
Not only for tevilas Ezra and davening and learning things like that, but for really going to the mikvah, you need to be as careful as women do when they go to the mikvah. Shaving, nail cutting, everything. No knots, everything. But okay, Rich Shemesh, let me speak this. Zeb, you have a question after school? Okay, let me know. Remember. Okay. So now the Gemara, this is one of these Gishmak Gemaras. They're like, you get a crash course in like Karl Tarkula. Turma, Tara. And we also had by the halachos of things that have a halacha of a bias that has to be dalet al dalet, mezuzah and makkah and bias, and we're from the war. But the Yikoma, we had like these, you know, all over the place.
So this is one. So now we defend Rabbi Yehuda by saying that even though we're still more than we're 11 to
15.
The sukkah is still 10 tefachim because it's Mesorah.
Yeah, because he doesn't learn from there. If he was learning from Kruvim, he'd have a problem. But he doesn't learn from Kruvim. That's where Meir would learn.
We only use the Kruvim to learn out, does the 10 tefachim get part of it, or without part? Is the sukkah part of the 10 tefachim, or without?
Both, at the end of the day.
What do you mean both?
Meaning we learn...
We just said we learn from Mesorah.
But that Rabbi Yehuda does. Rabbi Meir doesn't need to rely on the oral Mesorah. He can learn... Now the question is, why does he need a pasuk? Did he also have that Mesorah that you're asking, essentially? Yeah, I don't know. But once there's a Mesorah, why do you need a pasuk?
The only reason for the Karun is just to see if the Sakha is part of it. Is the 10th Fahim or is it not part of it?
Dedicate or unlock this evening to see this Mesorah.
Because why would you use it?
My aunt, Mrs. Toby Willig, Aleha HaShalom, passed away today in Shabbat Yerakodesh. I greet you from the